Ron, this is a special evening coming up. What do you look forward to most on this evening that's coming up October 4th?
Well, this is the 51st annual National Aviation Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony. So we're starting our second half of our century. And we have a little bit of a change. For many, many years, this event has taken place at the Dayton Convention Center. And this is the first time we've moved it to the actual Hall of Fame Learning Center and the adjacent National Museum of the United States Air Force. We have a photo reception that'll take place in the Hall of Fame itself, which is about a 14,000 square foot building. And then we move into the Modern Flight Gallery of the Air Force Museum for the dinner and ceremony. And that means we are literally sitting under the wings of some of the most famous aircraft in history. So the venue is spectacular and obviously very relevant. So I'm looking forward to that. We've done events in there before. Actually, the night before enshrinement, we would do an event in there typically. We've gone to one night. It's all in one big night. And I'm excited because this means everybody that comes to the event will get to see the Hall of Fame, which obviously the host organization. And when we were downtown at the convention center, sometimes that wouldn't be the case.
So is this on Wright-Patt's campus?
Yes. If you've been to the Air Force Museum, that's where this event is taking place. Our Hall of Fame Learning Center is right off the hallway that connects the first big hangar to the second big hangar. And people understand that if they've been there. There's three large hangars. So we're between the first and the second hangar. And the second hangar is the Modern Flight Gallery, a spectacular venue for this event. And I'll point out that our enshrinees are not all Air Force in their heritage. The Hall of Fame honors civilians and all branches of service. So it's a real diverse class coming in, but a great historic place to have the ceremony.
Ron Kaplan is who we're speaking with, the National Aviation Hall of Fame Enshrinement Director. The enshrinement's coming up in about a month on Friday night, the 4th of October, and four to be honored this year. One name, Ron, jumped out at me, actually his nickname. He's a former space shuttle commander, and we heard the name Hoot Gibson in the news a lot when he was commanding the shuttle. Tell us about Hoot Gibson and the other three Hall of Fame inductees.
Well, they're all the real deal, but Hoot is incredible. I've had the pleasure and honor of knowing him in other capacities prior to his being elected into the Hall of Fame. He has five shuttle missions to his credit, and that alone is impressive. I think four of those were as commander. But what a lot of people don't know, and this is the neat thing about coming to enshrinement and watching the history made on stage, is that prior to that, he was a Navy fighter pilot. He flew combat in F-4 Phantoms, but he flew with the first F-14 Tomcat squadron to be deployed in combat. And I didn't realize this. He explained that was at the end of the Vietnam War. And if you've seen Top Gun, the movie, you know, we think of the Tomcat as more of a 1980s and 90s part of our naval warfare arsenal, but he flew with the first Tomcat squadron, and it was later then that he went into the astronaut corps and went on to become a shuttle pilot. But on top of that, and by the way, he was a real Top Gun Naval Weapons School graduate, he today still flies in the Reno Air Races in what's called the Unlimited class, which are the old, very powerful, piston-powered World War II era aircraft. And he races every year. In fact, last year he came in second. So he has over 14,000 hours in over 140 different types of aircraft. I think he spent 36 days in space total. Just an unbelievable character. Most of these gentlemen are charismatic, energetic. Yeah. He's 70 years old, and you would think he's 36. So very excited to welcome him into the Hall of Fame.
It's in his blood, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's in his blood. And the other three.
Well, one of our deceased enshrinees, an incredible story, C. Alfred Anderson, nicknamed Chief. He was one of the first African-Americans to earn his pilot's license. He had to teach himself to fly. He could not find an instructor that would teach an African-American. And we're talking in the 1920s, late 20s. So he bought an airplane and taught himself to fly. And he got his license in 1929. And in 1932, he became the first African-American to earn an air transport license, fighting prejudice all the way. In the late 30s, he is a pilot instructor. And when the Tuskegee Institute spooled up and ultimately became the training ground for who we know now as the World War II's famous Tuskegee Airmen, he was named their chief instructor. There's the nickname, Chief. and in 1940 made a particularly famous flight with the First Lady, Eleanor Roosevelt, on board as Piper Cub, much to the chagrin of the Secret Service men that were with the First Lady. But that flight is considered a turning point in the government's acceptance and then willingness to move this Tuskegee experiment forward to what became the Tuskegee Airmen, the first African-Americans to fly in combat. And of course, the general public has had some recent exposure to that with George Lucas and his Red Tails movie. But the true story is far more amazing than any fiction. And Chief Anderson was at the center of it. He's considered the father of African-American aviation, and he was the mentor to these early African-American combat pilots way before the Air Force in 1947 became integrated.
How in the world does one teach himself how to fly? Are there textbooks for such things?
I would guess that for everyone that does that, there's probably a lot of wreckage around of the others that didn't. And it's really, truly amazing. His granddaughter is coming to accept. And by the way, each one of these enshrinees has what we call a presenter, someone the enshrinee has chosen or their family to be the presenter. And this is really, really, really cool, given that we've got Hoot Gibson, shuttle astronaut, being inducted. By the way, his presenter is the NASA administrator, retired Marine Corps Major General Charles Bolden. But Chief Anderson's family has selected retired Colonel Guy Bluford, who's the first African-American in space.
We have two more.
Yes. The other deceased enshrinee is the late Dwayne Wallace. And a lot of folks won't know that name, but they will know the name Cessna, Cessna Aircraft Company. And Clyde Cessna, who was inducted years ago, founded the company. But Dwayne Wallace is the one who really built the company and saved it from bankruptcy. And not only that, during the war, spooled up their war production. They made trainers, very rugged trainers that were used. Many, many World War II pilots will have hours in Cessna-built trainers. And then after the war, realized the potential for growth in light airplanes. And we all know the high-wing Cessna Skyhawk, the Cessna 150, 172. Well, that started with the Cessna 140 under Dwayne Wallace. In the 1970s, he realized the jet engines were the future and developed what became known as the Citation Jet, twin-engine business aircraft. And despite what a lot of people in the government might tell you, American business is really built on these small business jets being able to get folks around the country to their factories and to their plants and to their employees and whatnot. And the Citation is an important part of that. So unfortunately, he's passed away, but his daughter is going to accept on his behalf. And a former CEO of Cessna, Jack Pelton, who's also the current chairman of the Experimental Aircraft Association, will be his presenter at enshrinement.
We're speaking with Ron Kaplan. Ron is National Aviation Hall of Fame Enshrinement Director, and the enshrinements are coming up on Friday night, October 4th. And we have one more.
Yes, and certainly last but not least is a retired Army Major General, Patrick H. Brady. He is our first true Army aviator to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And by the way, we have 215 men and women who have previously been so honored. General Brady is noted, well, he's legendary in the annals of Army helicopter medical evacuation. In Vietnam, he flew what folks commonly know as the Huey helicopter on dust-off missions. This is the aeromedical evacuation missions. And his story is just incredible. And his career in Vietnam included flying over 2,500 combat missions as a dust-off pilot and saved over 5,000 wounded. And on one of those missions in particular, an incredible, harrowing mission, he earned the Medal of Honor. I believe this makes the 11th enshrinee we have that has earned the Medal of Honor. So not only is he legendary among Army aviators, but also just the medical helicopter pilots in general.
Over three decades was his career in the U.S. Army.
Yes.
34 years.
Yes. And what's interesting, he's chosen his daughter to be his presenter, and she is a retired Army captain. Now a homeschooling mom, but she herself was in the aeromedicine branch of the Army. And I think that's really neat that he selected his daughter to be his presenter.
It's going to be a special night. It's next month. It is Friday night, October 4th. We've been visiting with the National Aviation Hall of Fame Enshrinement Director, Ron Kaplan. Ron, we'll put a link to the website with all the information. It is open to the public, and all the information is found on the website. If you go to WVXU.org, we'll link you to the National Aviation Hall of Fame.
That's wonderful. And on there are the biographies, all the previous enshrinees as well.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell.